Thank you, Terrence. I want to thank our staff. I want to thank the two Sharons. They're in the balcony up there, Sharon Boyd and Sharon Owens. Thank you for serving Ebenezer. And thank you for serving me. And to all of the staff, our Minister of Music, Isaac Moshe, and all of our musicians, you've done a wonderful job.
Amen.
I appreciate it. We had a wonderful reception on Friday. It was light and fun and beautiful. And Chris Loveland and his band. He sang Tennessee Whiskey. That's one of my favorite songs. And we had a great time. Thanks to I want to thank all of our officers, our trustees, our deacons, deaconesses, chairs, trustee chair, deaconess chair, deacon chair, ushers, greeters, and all of our leaders, Reverend Bryant and Reverend West, and all those who have served in leadership with me over these past 12 years. Thank you so much for your service to the church and your service for Jesus Christ. It's been a blessing serving alongside such dedicated people. And then our mission president, our brotherhood president, I'm trying not to forget anyone. That's been the gift that you've given to me. And, you know, we have some, you know, glitches, but there are glitches everywhere. but for the most part, you've been special and wonderful. And Zenodia and I have loved being here at Ebenezer, and we've loved being in Austin and in this community. So thank you all so much for all that you've poured into me and into my family, and for the opportunity to serve the church together. And I'm praying for you, Ebenezer. I pray God's blessings upon you, that you pray for God to give you guidance and leadership and pray for God to give you what you need. You might not like what you get, but you might get what you need. And I just want to give you one bit of advice. You Southern people are very polite and very careful what you say, as opposed to some of us Northerners and Chicagoans. But in the meetings, if you don't agree, open your mouth and let it be known. And don't let vocal people derail the meeting. Vote your conviction. And don't try to be polite and worry about what somebody said. Their feelings are going to get hurt. Open your mouth and vote your conviction and let God lead you, and you'll be all right. God bless you, beloved. I don't know how I will get through this message, and we've got some scholars here today, all these erudite ministers. Pastor Grosvenor, Pastor Hurd, Pastor Terman, degrees from Harvard and Yale and Princeton and other institutions. I mean, Lord Jesus. So I'm just going to do what I do and however it comes out. But thank you, brothers, for being here. That's a tremendous blessing and gift to me. And sisters, Dr. Bryant. I want to read from Ezekiel chapter 2, 1 through 9, the New International Version. I forgot to mention Arlene, Sister Arlene from Wesley United Methodist Church. She sent a gift to our prayer meeting ministry and wanted to thank you all for praying for her. I forgot to mention that. Ezekiel 2, 1 through 9. He said to me, Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you. As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you, and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or be terrified for them by them, though they are a rebellious people. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious people. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Then I looked, and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll. The word of the Lord. The commissioning of Ezekiel. Now, let me just give a disclaimer up front. Though the text mentions a rebellious and obstinate and stubborn people, I'm not talking about Ebenezer or St. John or Mount Moriah. God is talking about Israel, all right? The commissioning of Ezekiel. A couple of weeks, I woke up and was trying to determine what day it was. And at first I thought it was Sunday. I checked my phone for the time and I said, oh Lord, I'm late for church. So I rushed to the bathroom. I realized that it wasn't Sunday and I wasn't late for church. Since I have been a pastor, one of my constant fears has been waking up late on a Sunday. I worry about getting up and realizing that I've overslept and missed church. In fact, I only set the alarm on Saturday nights. Every other day I don't use an alarm. I've had dreams about missing church. And so I guess that's just one of those quirks of the job. And here I am today, standing to preach my last sermon as a pastor for now. In 40 years, I've never overslept or missed church. God has been faithful to me. Praise the Lord. And as I stand here and think about this 40-year pastoral journey, I'm really not worried about whether I've missed church. My thoughts today and this month are about my assignment. Have I been faithful to the charge and commission of God? Because at the end of the day, it matters not how long you serve as pastor. It doesn't matter how many praiseworthy deeds you've done. What matters is, have you faithfully discharged the assignment given to you by God? You see, one day, we will all stand before God and turn in our stewardship reports. And we want God to be pleased with the life we've lived and the service we've rendered. Now, we're not going to please everybody down here. You're always going to find somebody who doesn't like something you did or said. But that's not the issue. The issue is when you stand before the throne of God, what will God say? And so during one of my periods of meditation, God brought this text in Ezekiel to me. I've read the passage before, but I've never preached the text. The text is about the commissioning of the prophet Ezekiel. But what it says speaks to the journey and assignment of a pastor. Let's examine the passage more closely. Ezekiel is familiar with divine activity and the work of faith. He is the son of a priest, brought up in a priestly family. And Ezekiel is also a priest, or as some suggest, a priest in training. But he's been around priestly stuff his whole life. So it isn't shocking to Ezekiel that God shows up one day and shares these visionary events with him. Ezekiel is a part of that first group of exiles carried into Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. And that first group of exiles was composed of the elites of Israel. All of the power brokers, all of the great minds were brought in. All of the aristocrats of Israel were brought into exile. And Ezekiel was a part of that social structure and culture. And so in this first chapter of the book of Ezekiel, the heavens open up. And Ezekiel sees visions of God. God sends a windstorm. God sends streaks of lightning and a brilliant light. And like the prophet Isaiah, Ezekiel is shown a vision of the divine throne room. He sees God, a vision of God in this throne room. He sees the appearance of the glory of the Lord. And when Ezekiel sees all this, he falls face down out of awe and reverence. It's a powerful set of visions that gets Ezekiel prepared for God's announcement. And there he is, prostrate on the ground, overwhelmed by these unusual visions, and God calls him. Text says, he said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you." And Ezekiel says, "As he spoke to me, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me." He's there prostrate, and God says, "Son of man," or mortal. I like that word, mortal. God calls him mortal. "Get up." And why does God call him mortal? Or son of man. He calls him that more than 99 times in the book of Ezekiel. Perhaps God wanted to remind him that he was in the presence of God. Distinguish Ezekiel from God. Maybe God wanted him to remember that he is mortal. Mortal, he calls him. We can never forget that we are mortal, formed of the dust of the earth. No matter our pedigree or our credentials, we are mortal. You think when God shows up, At your house, he's going to call you Dr. So-and-so. Or the very reverend or the most reverend. God's going to say mortal. Calls him mortal and commands him to stand up because he wants Ezekiel to be in the proper posture to receive a divine message. Is Ezekiel unable to stand? Is he frozen with fear? According to Ezekiel, as he speaks, the Spirit enters him and lifts him to his feet. God pulls him to attention, laying on the ground, overcome by these visions. And God shows up and says, mortal. And as God says, mortal, the Spirit gets in his body and lifts him to his feet. And stands him to attention. What a powerful interaction. Ezekiel is face down so as not to disrespect the glory of God. But God calls him directly. Mortal. Mortal. Must not have been anybody else in the room. Must not have been anybody else around. Because when God says mortal, all of us will stand up. At the call of God. He stands him up and calls him to attention. Whatever we experience when God calls us, God has a way of getting our attention. And what is significant about this call is the divine initiative. It is God who moves toward Ezekiel. It is God who calls Ezekiel, and the call is clear and particular. Not to run around, did God call me? Is God calling me? God will let you know if God is calling you. If God didn't make it clear, then there isn't a call. If God didn't come to you, then there isn't a God will come to you. God calls in many ways and at different times. And we don't all have the same God call experience. But when God calls, God comes to the callee and makes the call clear. Just like Moses, who was tending the flocks of Jethro, his father-in-law, he notices a burning bush that is not being consumed. And Moses goes closer to observe the bush more carefully. And when he gets close enough, God speaks through the bush and says, Moses, Moses, take your shoes off. The ground you're standing on is holy ground. The burning bush gets Moses' attention so that God can speak clearly to him. God calls Ezekiel. He stands him on his feet and gets his attention. But then he gives him a tough commission. He says, son of man or mortal, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, and whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or be terrified for them by them, for they are a rebellious people. What a commission. Mortal, I'm sending you to the Israelites. Stop there. So God orders Ezekiel to the prophetic task. Who is sending? Yahweh. God does the commissioning. The church does not commission. God commissions. We can acknowledge what God has done, but there is no commissioning without the sanction of God. So God calls him and God commissions him and God sends him to a tough crowd. According to God, they are rebellious. Their mamas and daddies have been in revolt. He says they are hard of face and or impudent and tough of heart. Or stubborn. I like that. This isn't on my paper. My late pastor, Luke Mingo, used to talk about the crowd at the church at Morningstar. And he would say, y'all sitting up here looking all wise and otherwise. But they are hard of face, impudent, tough of heart, stubborn. That's a tough crowd. That's a tough crowd. And God knows this crowd. God knows what Ezekiel will face. There's a lot there. God calls us to minister to crowds that might not be hospitable to the message. God already knows the problems the prophet will face. God knows the flaws and the failings of the people. But God sends Ezekiel anyway. And that God sends Ezekiel suggests that despite the toughness of the people, despite their rebellion, despite their hardness, God is still concerned about the people. Now that's instructive for us, especially for young preachers starting out, young pastors. The folk might be a tough crowd. And they might have some obstinate folk in there. But that doesn't mean they're not God's people. And that doesn't mean that God doesn't love them. And that doesn't mean that God isn't concerned about them. God sends us to crowds that doesn't always meet our criteria. God sends us to crowds that doesn't always cooperate the way we feel they should cooperate. So the sending of Ezekiel is an act of divine grace. The divine grace for the people. God said, I'm sending him to y'all because y'all need my word. And Ezekiel, he says to them, I want you to say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Use that prophetic formula. Thus says the Lord. So he's called to disregard how the message is received, whether they listen or fail to listen. Ezekiel is to tell the people what thus saith the Lord. And that way they will know that a prophet has been among them. Now, when it says that phrase, that they will know that a prophet has been among them, that doesn't mean that the people will recognize Ezekiel's powerful presence and powerful gifts and say, wow, he surely is a prophet, a man of God or a woman of God. He's a prophet. No, that's not what it's talking about. What it means is that when Ezekiel says what the Lord says, then the word through the Ezekiel will signal that a prophet has been among them. There is no prophet without the divine word. So what you say determines who you are. You know you got a prophet by what the prophet says the Lord says. It's a tough commission. I won't be long. Ezekiel is told up front that he will face a tough audience and get mixed reviews. There won't be a honeymoon period. Seminary training tries to prepare women and men to serve the church. And many of us go to seminary because we have experienced a call to ministry. We love God. We love the church. We love the people of the church. And seminaries prepare students in the areas of Bible, theology, administration, pastoral care, mission, culture, preaching, homiletics, and hermeneutics. They get all that in three years. But ministry is not always nice and neat. Folks are not always in their places with bright, shiny faces. And I don't think that many seminaries, when they give the charge to the graduates, give the words that Ezekiel received. I don't think seminaries are telling the students, and you, son of man, do not be afraid of their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you, and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or be terrified of them, because they are a rebellious people. That many of them had been told that in seminary, they would have run. They would have said, I'm not going to the church. I'm not going to serve God's people. It's a tough commission. But even though it's tough, God requires of Ezekiel full compliance and obedience. He says, you must speak my words to them. You must. Whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious people. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Then I looked, and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll. God stands him up. God gives him a tough commission and sends him to a tough crowd. And then God calls for complete compliance. God demands unqualified obedience. God says, in effect, this is the assignment, and you have no choice in the matter. You cannot refuse to go. Ezekiel cannot tell God, well, he can't say to God, well, let me pray about it. Let me negotiate a salary and benefits package, because none is being offered. God tells Ezekiel, you must speak what I tell you to speak. And then he says, I don't want you to be rebellious. Even before I tell you what I want you to say, don't you be rebellious. And Ezekiel is probably saying, whoa, wait a minute. What are you going to have me say? What are you going to make me say if you're going to give me all of these parameters? He might have reason to fear and desire to flee with all that talk about scorpions and briars. Ezekiel knows that God's people are in bondage because of their sin. But God has tough words for the people. The prophet cannot mince the words. He cannot rebel against what God says, whether he agrees or not. Then God says, open your mouth and eat what I give you. This is symbolic of ordination. Ezekiel sees this scroll on an outstretched hand. We practice the laying on of hands, but Ezekiel gets an outstretched hand containing the scroll of God with writing on both sides of it. You know what the scroll is. It's the word that God intends Ezekiel to speak. It's the word that God intends to put in him so that he can't help but speak. He can't help but comply. It's just like what God does to Jeremiah. When he calls Jeremiah, the Bible says, then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over the nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Despite the toughness of the call, God calls for compliance. Whew, this isn't on my paper. I'm almost done. We spent a whole lot of time asking the church, what do you want in a pastor? What are you looking for? We're looking for this kind of preacher. We're looking for that. We don't want that kind of preacher that we have. Well, you need to do a survey of yourselves and write down who you are. Because often you want a special kind of preacher, but you don't tell the preacher the kind of person you are in a meeting, the kind of person you are with giving, the kind of person you are interpersonally, because y'all got some stuff too. And sometimes when we're called to a church, we have a cauldron in front of us, and we don't want to know what's in that cauldron until we open it up and get inside, and then we say, oh my God. Let them know who you are. Let them know the kind of deacons they're going to deal with, the kind of trustees they're going to deal with, the kind of choir members they're going to deal with, because it might have an impact. Might have an impact on whether they say, I want to come or I want to run away. But God calls for complete compliance. Ezekiel experiences powerful visions. I'm sure he never expected the call he receives. God comes and calls him mortal. And certainly the visions make it clear that he is mortal. And God stands him up and says, I want you to be a prophet. God makes it clear and takes the initiative. Then he gives him a tough commission. You're going to a tough crowd. They might not listen. They might rebel. But you will tell, if you tell them what thus saith the Lord, they will know there's been a prophet among them. And God calls for full compliance and ordains him and gives him this scroll. That's not in our portion of the text, but Bible readers know that the scroll was like honey in his mouth, so that he could eat the whole scroll and digest the scroll. But then when the scroll was digested, he was compelled to do God's will and speak his word to his people and go out there and do what God wanted him to do. So what about the results? What about the results? Don't worry about the results. The results belong to God. He says whether they fail to listen or fail to listen, don't worry about it. You're called to be faithful. You're called to be obedient. You're called to carry out God's will. You know, Ezekiel did all this stuff to comply, but he never lives to see God's people restored. He spends his entire life in exile. Never gets out of exile in Babylon. Doesn't have a retirement party. Doesn't get a golden parachute. Doesn't get a gold pin for all his years of compliance. He doesn't get a street named in his honor. He doesn't get a plaque on his wall. He prophesies and dies in Babylon. But all he's got for himself is a record of faithfulness. I told him what you wanted me to tell him. I went where you wanted me to go. I did what you wanted me to do. And one day the great paymaster of eternal glory will call him by name and say, Ezekiel, come to your heavenly reward. I'm trying to quit, but I'm all right, y'all. I'm all right. Just say that. All this is, this ministry, this pastoring, is simply God calling a person from any place on the planet and saying to that person, I want you to do my will. And God calls with particularity. He calls short people, tall people, fat people, bald people, people with hair who lose their hair. He calls them. And he does with any of us he calls, women, men, any of us he calls, wherever we are called. He does with us what he did with Ezekiel. He took Ezekiel to a valley, a valley of bones, dry bones, dry bones, meaning that the folk were dead a long time. He says to Ezekiel, mortal, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, you know. You know, that's what a calling is about, beloved. For God to take us to various places and settings and to ask the question, mortal, can these bones live? And I like the fact that God proposes the question in the valley of death's shadow. So death has already been in the valley. And God has the temerity to ask, can these bones live? Bones that are already dead, can they live? So when God asks that question, he raises the possibility of transformation. He raises the possibility of change. He raises the possibility of grace even after death has consumed everything in the valley. Don't be surprised when God takes you someplace and it looks like it cannot come back. God asks you, can these bones live? Russia invades Ukraine and God says to the preacher, can these bones live? Hamas attacks Israel and Israel starts attacking and attacking and attacking and God says, can these bones live? Got a presidential election coming up. One man already found guilty. The other man barely able to walk around. And God is saying, can these bones live? Can they live? Divorce has come in and torn up a family and torn up a household. And God says, can these bones live? Addiction is taking our children and destroying their lives. And God says, can these bones live? Can they live? And then he answers correctly. He says, you know. Because I'm mortal. But you know, God. And I don't know if I want to go to that church. I don't know if I want to accept the call. But you know, oh God. You know. And God says, that's right, I know. I asked the question because I'm about to do something you didn't expect me to do. So if I know they can live, I want you to preach to these bones. What? You want me to set up a pulpit in a valley of dry bones? He says, preach to these bones. And he said, so I started preaching. And when I started preaching, I heard a rumbling in the valley. I heard a shaking in the valley and bones started coming together and sinew started coming. I heard a rumbling that raised an army in the valley. And there stood God's people resurrected. All of you are called in some way or another to and sent to all many different places. You don't need a special book or a tract. You just need to listen when God asks you right where you are on your job, on your block, at school, in the community. When God asks you, can these bones live? Then you say yes and God will say, open your mouth and say something in this situation and let life come in. God bless you. God bless you and God keep you. The invitation, Christian discipleship. Is extended. As our ministers and deacons and greeters come, the invitation to Christ is extended.
For thee,
yes,
dear Lord, a cross I'll bear,
and I'll go,
and I'll anytime.
Is there one today?
Anywhere.
Wants new life.
Oh.
And to walk with Jesus, won't you come?
I'll not fall from the way of old.
If you lead me.
If you lead me. Dear Lord, I will go.
Yes. Use me,
Lord. Use me, use me, Lord.
Use me, Lord.
Use me for thy glory.
Use me for thy glory.
Use me, Lord.
Use me, Lord. Help me tell the story.
Help me tell. Help me tell the story. Lord, make my will. I'll go all the way. Use me, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh,
you know what I forgot? Just before we do the communion, I forgot to give our brother his certificate. And I want to do that because I'm an old man and the thought might not come back that quickly. Excuse me. And this is your mom.
Yes, sir.
Stand up for a minute. Stand up, Mom. God bless you and welcome. We want to give Dion his certificate of baptism. This certifies that Dion Hickey was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit on the second day of June, the year of our Lord, 2024, at Ebenezer Third Baptist Church. Gloria Davis, church clerk, and Ricky Freeman, pastor. God bless you. And welcome. God bless you. You can be seated. All right, let's stand for the church covenant. Let's read it together. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, we do now, in the presence of God, angels and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its... to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We also engage to maintain family and secret devotions, to religiously educate our children, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling, and courtesy in speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. You may be seated. It's my pleasure to welcome you again to the table of the Lord. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Thank you, O God, for bringing us again to the table of the Lord to receive your body and your blood. And thank you for reminding us, O God, of the power of transformation, the power of grace, and how you persistently pursue your people, bring us back to you to restore us and to give us your grace. Bless us, O God, as we go forth to carry out your work and to do your will in the world. Bless these elements and consecrate them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.